A reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord, and do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father.
Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Woman of the Eucharist, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings from Sunday of the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time have such a strong theme of the Eucharist. You can see the Eucharist being prefigured in the book of Proverbs in the first reading. Wisdom has built her house, she has set up her seven columns, she has dressed her meat, mixed her wine, yes, she has spread her table. Wisdom is always the wisdom literature, and especially when it refers to wisdom being in the feminine form, the fathers and doctors of the church have always seen it as a type of Our Lady. And truly, we understand that Our Lady has prepared for us a table, because in saying yes to being mother of the Son of God, she helped prepare the Eucharist for us. Even Pope John Paul II, in his letter on the Eucharist, an encyclical on the Eucharist, has a section there entitled, Mary, Woman of the Eucharist. She has truly prepared for us, by her yes to God, the body of the Son of God, which he was able to offer for us in sacrifice at Calvary, and he offers to us at every holy sacrifice of the Mass under the appearance of bread and wine, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And of course, she gave him that body by her cooperation. By saying yes to the angel Gabriel, she gave Jesus his priesthood. That's where he was ordained, in the womb of Our Lady, where he received his body so that he could be a priest. And truly, Our Lady helped mix that wine and dressed the meat for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And Pope John Paul II makes that allusion to that mystery and that fact in his encyclical. He says that Our Lady is there present at every Eucharist. Just as she stood at the foot of the cross, she stands at the foot of every altar, and that we know that she is the one and only one who contributed to our Lord his human nature. No one else, no other person, no other human person gave to our Lord his human nature, just his mother. And so we see in that a strong point for the whole reason for Our Lady being called co-redemptrix. She can look at the cross on Good Friday and say, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. No one else could say that. And so her participation at Calvary was unique and unlike anyone else. I mean, that strikes you so clearly. You don't have to think about that very far. It's just obvious. Who could say that they were the mother of the Son of God who contributed that sacrifice by giving her body and her flesh to the Son of God, so that he could offer his sacrifice for us. So we see clearly this allusion to the Eucharist, that God invites us. Wisdom. Also, Our Lady invites us. She says, you know, by her cooperation with our Lord, saying, Son, they have no wine at the wedding feast of Cana. She's saying, they need the true wine, that true wine that only the wine of gladness, that only God can give them. And of course, our Lord fulfills that request of Our Lady at Cana in one way, but fulfills it in a most perfect and profound way on Calvary, when he finally gives that cup of blessing, when he offers his body on the cross and sheds his blood poured from his side for our redemption. This is the great mystery that we see alluded to in the first reading. And then we hear very clearly, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. We as Catholics have such a great blessing that we can truly taste and see the goodness of the Lord, not in the physical appearance of the Eucharist. You know, we just taste what appears to be wine and taste what appears to be bread. But those who have faith and understand and believe our Lord's words, we know that he is giving us himself. And that is the goodness of the Lord. He is goodness itself. And every time we come to the Eucharist, we come to the goodness of the Lord. You know, just like that young man who said, good master, what must I do to obtain eternal life? You know, he said, come follow me. Every time we receive him in the Eucharist, we come to that good master. We receive his goodness, and we pray that we will not put any obstacles to that goodness to truly operate and to work in us, that he will truly radiate his presence from us, because we have, as the Eucharist does, the Eucharist doesn't become a part of us. We consume the sacred species, but truly we are transformed and become like Christ, if we're truly cooperating with the grace and we receive him in the state of grace. And then St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, has another Eucharistic theme. He says, and do not get drunk on wine in which lies debauchery. In other words, don't get drunk on the world. And when he says wine, he's not just talking about the physical wine, that's wine that cannot give us anything but a headache, a hangover. Rather, he says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything. Isn't that why the Eucharist is called the Eucharist? It means thanksgiving. We truly are, every day, if you have the opportunity to go to Mass, and every time you come Sunday, we have the opportunity to give thanks to the Lord in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, who is offering the sacrifice on our behalf through the sacred ministry of the priesthood that Jesus has established. And he is reminding us that, you know, we really should not allow the world to distract us from this great important event and mystery that we're allowed to participate in every day, possibly, for those who are able to. And we look and see how many fallen away Catholics there are in the world, especially just in the United States. The second largest Christian denomination in the United States after the Catholic Church are the fallen away Catholics. There's 80 million Catholics in the United States, or at least I think somewhere around that, and 30 million of them are fallen away because they stopped going to Mass on Sunday. That's probably where it all began. You know, that's why it's such a grave offense to miss Mass on Sunday, because our Lord realized how weak we are if we don't have the strength to follow him, if we're not being fed by him. And to just absent ourselves one time from Mass on a Sunday for no good reason, for not a serious reason, and we begin to fall away. We begin weaken ourselves, and then we end up, like so many are today, not participating in the Eucharist and falling away Catholics. So important that we realize and stress the importance of our Sunday obligation. It's not because God has need of us to be there on Sunday. We have need of him. We have to have him in our lives, and we have to have him at least one day out of the week and to receive him, or we're not going to be able to do what is before us. We're not able to, we will not have the strength to follow him and to resist all the snares that the devil places before us. That's so clear that our Lord understands us, and he understands how much we need him. As he says in the gospel today from John chapter 6, again, the Eucharist is so clearly alluded to. Our Lord says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And we know that our Lord is not talking about symbolism. He's not talking about it figuratively. He's saying it literally, because the Jews are quarreling among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They understood him, what he was saying, because if our Lord was talking figuratively, and they were understanding him literally, then he, being the Son of God, the truth incarnate, had to clarify that for him, and he didn't change it. Matter of fact, he repeated it, but this time with a solemn oath. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Just as I said previously, if we don't come to our Lord in the Eucharist, we're not going to have that spiritual life that we need. We're not just physical parts put together. We have a spirit that is made for God. And if we don't feed that spiritually, and that's the only place we can get it, is from Jesus in the Eucharist, then we're going to be zombies. And maybe that's why zombie movies are so big these days, because there's so many walking dead. They're walking dead around the world, spiritual zombies. They have what appears to be life, but they're dead inside. They don't know where they're going. They don't know who they are. I call it sometimes spiritual dementia or Alzheimer's. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And those people would be in a care home somewhere with a little buzzer that goes off if they go outside the door, if it wasn't for the fact that they don't know they're spiritually dead or that they got spiritual Alzheimer's, because they have stayed away from Jesus. So we have all these people out there who are zombies, and Jesus is the cure. And we need to pray for ourselves and for them, because we could, if we stay away from Jesus, if we don't receive him faithfully, then our Lord is, his word will come true. He will want this bread that we will never die. Even if we should die this physical life, we will have eternal life. Jesus is that promise. and he gives it to us in the Eucharist every time we come to him. Let us pray today that through the intercession of Our Lady, the Co-Redemptrix, Mother and Woman of the Eucharist, that we will remain faithful to this pledge that Jesus has given to us, and that we will remain faithful and come to him, the bread of life, and eat his flesh and drink his blood, for that we may truly receive all that he wants to give to us. He wants to give to us, first and foremost, that life that only he can give. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. And we receive that literally every time we come to communion, because we receive not a representation or a symbol of Jesus. We receive Jesus in person, body, blood, soul, and divinity. What a great grace. Why we should be so thankful to thank him for this gift, to thank him that if no one should ever go a day without thinking, what do I have to be thankful for? Well, we can think of one thing most importantly, that Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist. And with that comes everything. And Saint Francisco de Osuno says, if you want to receive more grace from God, thank him for the graces you have already received. That's something that we can always do every time we come to Mass. We always can be thankful. He has blessed us so many ways, even sometimes when we're so unfaithful to God. Maybe when we've treated God poorly, he still blesses us. That really amazes me sometimes, when he still blesses us when we're not really deserving of it. We pray every day, that we receive what we're in need of, not what we deserve, but what we need. We know that if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be very happy. But our Lord loves us so much that he wants us to receive the graces that we need to be faithful and to serve him, and most importantly, to love him. We can't return that love if he doesn't come to us first. So today, as we reflect on the great blessings that we have received in the most holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the fruit of our redemption, which comes from that Mass, from the cross, the Eucharist, Jesus himself, thank him and thank Our Lady, who helped cooperate and participate in a unique way in this great gift to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.